Blog
Come on,
Talk
man.
Radio.
Y'all know what it is. Don't act like y'all don't know what this is, man. Y'all know what this is. This is the Anointed Truth of Christ Worldwide Ministries. I am your host, Elder Andre Prevost, a.k.a. the Black Prince of Preachers, is in the building. Y'all better give it up for Jesus. Y'all better give it up for God. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised, worthy to be magnified. He's worthy to be lifted up. We're just going to praise his name today. Glory to God. We want to welcome everybody. Thank y'all for tuning in on today. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all know who it is. Once again, Elder Andre Prevost is in the building. Amen. And it's Friday, the first Friday of the month. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are proud to bring back, amen, our very first episode of this season. Praise God. Hallelujah. Men's Day on the Holy Ghost prayer line. Amen. With my testimony on how God, hallelujah, amen, has changed my life. Praise God. Hallelujah. So without further ado, hey, you're going to get the jam. Hallelujah. One of my hits. Y'all know I got hits, right? Don't act like y'all don't know. I got hits, baby. And we're going to drop one of them hits on you today. Amen. Right now, let's connect with the men's, the Holy Ghost prayer line. Hallelujah. And men's day, Pastor Clay is probably talking. Hallelujah. Let's see what he got to say. Y'all hold on a second. We connect.
Psalm 105. Amen. So this is the day of testimony now. This is the day you to tell. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. So we need to make known his deeds or his works that he's done. And so that is why we need to testify. That is why we need to tell it. Verse 5 says, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgment are in all the earth. And so when he said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, make known his deeds. And so that is why we give men the chance to make known his deeds. So what has he done for you? If you don't give a testimony about what he's done for you, even give a testimony about, well, what has he done in your life? What has he done in your family? What does he make known his deeds? If you know of something good that he's done, please tell it today, because it says, oh, give thanks. Call upon his name. Make known. Make it known. Make it be known. And that is why we're here today, to make known the deeds of the Lord. Amen. Psalm 71. Amen. Psalm 71 and 15. We're just reading a few scriptures here to get this thing kicked off, because, you know, some people like to keep quiet about what God has done to them. And some people ain't had no problem. I ain't never had no problem. Well, okay.
Jesus.
Ain't never been through nothing. Well, yeah. Okay. Praise God. Amen. He was in sin and he got you out of that. That's something to talk about. Amen. And what he did when you got saved. Psalm 71 and 15. Now, these people here, they open their mouth. Listen at them. Psalm 71 and 15. He said, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the days. For I know not the number thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from thy youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wonderful work. He declared it, amen. He made known. He said, now also when I am old, that's a lot of us on the line, now when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is come. Thy righteousness, O God, also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore trouble shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the death of the earth. And so he's telling about to the things that God. I'm going to show it. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to talk about it, Lord. I'm not going to hold it in. I'm going to talk about it. Because if God done something for you, you shouldn't be able to hold it in. You ought to be running to tell all the good things God has done for you. But look at Psalms. Now, let's go to Jeremiah first. Amen. Jeremiah 20, chapter 9. Now, this is Jeremiah here. Amen. Y'all know about Jeremiah. Amen. And how he was telling all the things of God, and he got in trouble for telling it. But yet, he said, I'm going to tell it anyway. I'm going to tell it anyway. Amen. I'm going to talk about how he brought me out. Amen. How he brought me through. Jeremiah chapter 20. I guess I started verse 9. Now, this is what Jeremiah said, because Jeremiah was preaching the things of God, and he was being persecuted for it and put in prison, put in jail. But still, he said, I'm going to tell it. He said, verse 9, 29, he said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart a burning fire. Praise God. Look at that. His word was in my heart a burning fire. This is, that's where it ought to be in you. The things that God has done for you, you ought to want to tell it. It ought to be like a fire down in you that you want to tell the good things that God did for you and how he brought you out and what happened to you when he saved you. You ought to be willing to tell somebody about it. Jeremiah said, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. I didn't want to say it, but I could not stay. In other words, he couldn't hold his peace. Hallelujah. Come on, when the word gets a burning on the inside of you, you won't be able to hold it. Amen. No matter who you go around, you're going to want to tell somebody about what Jesus did for you. It ought to be like a fire in you. Hallelujah. And I guess Jesus said, the one who has done more will love me more. And the one he hasn't done much for that loves him less. But if you know that God brought you out of something, hallelujah, you ought to be want to tell everybody what he did, where he brought you from. Look where he brought me from. I was in a horrible pit, but God brought me up out of a horrible pit and he set my foot upon a rock. See, they was crying out because they knew. They knew where they had been. They knew what they had been through. And they wanted to tell somebody about it. And so I can't understand, men, today, if you don't have no story to tell, I can't understand it today. I mean, it ought to be like a fire in you, amen? It ought to be something burning on the inside of you that you want to tell somebody about it. I want to tell somebody. Hallelujah. And that's what Jeremiah was saying. I was being beat up for giving a testimony. I was being beat up and being persecuted. But still, his word became a reproach to me. But even though his word was a reproach, the fire burned down on the inside. There ought to be some fire burning down on the inside of you that you are ready to open your mouth. You're ready to give some praise to God. You're ready to give some glory to God because you know what he did for you, amen. I don't know what he did for you, but I'm waiting to hear. I want to hear about it. You know, when I was listening to some testimonies the last time, you know, when I heard those testimonies, it made me say, oh, God, you know, I haven't been through much, oh, Lord, because when I heard what they went through, Lord, I haven't been there, Lord, but I thank you anyway, Lord, that even the little things that I've been through, you brought me out of it, and I want to tell where you brought me from, and we ought to be glad today. And be excited about giving your testimony today. And you shouldn't be a sad testimony because even if, like I said, even if he was in sin and he brought you out of that, that should be a joyful testimony that knowing that what? God has not appointed you to wrath, but he appointed you to receive salvation of Jesus Christ. That ought to be a testimony in itself, that I know I'm not going to be destroyed. He hasn't appointed me to his wrath. But you obtain salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Jeremiah said it was like a burning fire in him, and he wanted to tell somebody. that he couldn't hold it. And so is anybody so full? You know, sometimes people say, I get so full. You know, when I start thinking about where God brought me from, I fill up, you know, feel like I want to burst open. Sometimes you just want to cry sometimes, and sometimes you just want to fall down on the floor because you're thanking God for how good he's been to you. When you think about it, how you came through the wreck, you know, I thought about some accidents I've been on. I could have been dead, but God saw fit to save me. He brought me through it. Amen. Somebody else may have died in a situation like that. Amen. Some people died and not even a bad accident that I was in. Some people died from that. And I was in a terrible place, terrible wreck. And God brought me through it. He saw fit to save my life. I heard somebody say, you know, that somebody had a gun on them. And they shot them the first time. They went through their arm. And then the guy put the gun to their head. And then right when the gun was at his head, the gun snapped. Ooh, what a testimony. And he said, I saw my life. When I had the gun to my head, I saw my life disappearing before me. I just saw that I was gone. I closed my eyes because I just knew that was it. That was going to be the last day. But when the man pulled the gun, it snapped. He said, that wasn't nobody but God saving my life. And I got to tell somebody how God saved my life. And I heard another man's testimony, John Hagin. I think that's the name down in San Antonio, that a man came into the church, amen, with his gun, and he was going to kill the pastor. He was going to kill him. And he said that John Hagin said the man was at standing close enough to him for the bullet couldn't miss. The man shot 6 times, and not even a bullet hit him. They went through the wall, and he said, I don't know how that man missed me. And the only thing I can say, the reason that man missed me, is that God was shielding me from 6 bullets that were shot point-blank range. And he said, I can't do nothing but give God praise for that, because there was no way that man could have missed me and shot at me 6 times, emptied the gun 6 times. Oh, what a testimony. What is a testimony? That's a testimony there. I was shot at 6 times, what we call point-blank range, and all the bullets went around him into the wall behind him, and it saved him. So I know John Hagin got a testimony. That's a testimony there. I would want to tell that everywhere. Amen. And so today, I want everybody to want to hold too long. We got more scriptures we're going to talk about. We ought to pull on what God has done for you. And so today I want to start off today. Pastor Smothers, you got that song in a praise today, the testimony today?
Yes, glory to God. I got a little something here. Give me a quick minute here.
Yes.
I got to do something right quick. I'm right with you, though. Hold tight. Glory be to God. He has definitely kept me. I know, y'all know, that none of us could still be here. The wages of sin is death. I have sinned. But God has kept me. I've been in some places. I've been in some situations. I don't know how I got out. And I just give all the praise, honor, and glory to God because I know he's keeping me. Despite my disobedience, despite my hard-headedness and my refusal to follow him perfectly, it just proves that his word is true. He says mercy and do it forever. And I thank God for being merciful to me because I was at death's door. I wasn't sick, about to die. I wasn't injured and about to die. But they was really trying to kill me. I knew it. Because I was doing some things, and they knew I had some money because God always blessed me with a good job, and they wanted it. Oh, my God. I just got to say thank you, Lord, because I'm only here because he's a miracle worker. And I know he worked miracles for me. Other times I didn't like myself. But yet, despite all that, he loves me. Proof is that I'm still here. Proof is that I still got a roof over my head. I got a few nickels I can rub together. There were times I didn't have that. But he just kept me till I could see the light. And I got a long ways to go. I got a hard road to travel. But it wasn't easy for the master, and it ain't going to be easy for us. But I tell you, if you just hold on and trust him, and I know you, my testimony is that God can keep you despite whatever they try and do to you. Hagar wasn't the only one he protected like that. Look at the Hebrew boys in the fire and situations you've been in. You know, God ain't working that miracle for you. You'd be dead right now. I know he worked it for me. And I got people that love me, people that love the Lord. And if I need a helping hand, they willing to help me because that's what they love the Lord and they obey what God says to do. Help ye one another. So anyway, I tell you to hold on. So let me give you this little piece of song here I got right here. Because I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. And maybe sunshine did it. And maybe rain, but I do know that I'm gonna make it after all. You may say, brother, how do you know what the future holds? I really just don't know. But he that holds the future, he also holds my hand. You can say what you want, go on and do what you will, but I ain't gonna let it get me down, no. See, the road is rough, and the mountains are hard to climb. Ain't gonna let it get me down, no. Can't you see that I'm a little too strong? This is why I can't go wrong. If I hold on, I hold on. See, I don't know what the morning's gonna bring. May the sunshine, hey, then again it might be the rain. But I do know that I, thank God, I'm gonna make it after all. I'm concluded. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, God. You there? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bishop, y'all? I think his phone went dead.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, there
God delivered me. Thank God for Pastor Smother. God delivered me from alcohol. And, amen. And I had a problem with it. But God delivered me from it. And so if God delivered me from that, he'll deliver you from that. And so we want to thank God for Pastor Smother's testimony. Amen. And that God, that he was at the point of death and he could have been killed, but God spared his life to see another day. And then sometimes we think of those things as being a small thing, but those are big things, amen. I mean, just being here and your life being spared, man, that's a big thing. You could have been gone, man. Oh, man, you could have been gone. So thank God for that testimony today, amen, of what God has done. You know, we still want men, you know. When men get it together, you know, I think when men get back in place, the families get back in place, the children get back in place,
the church get back in place, everything get back in place when men get in their place, because God made the man in his image. The man was made in the image of God, and the woman was really made in the image of the man. She made in the image of God because Adam was made in the image of the man. But if a man take his perspective place and begin to praise God and begin to lift up God and begin to lead in the way, then the whole family be led in the way when the man starts leading in the way. And so in order for people to have somebody to follow, they got to give somebody to follow. So the man is the one that is to be followed. So men, we got to get back. And we got to be the first one to give our testimony. If there's some tears to be shed, we ought to be the first one to shed some tears about
the good.
Because if they see you shedding tears, then the family don't mind shedding some tears, you know, and giving praise and honor to God and realize his presence is on you and in you. And they'll see what you're doing and they'll follow what you're doing. And so let's be a good example. Men, let's be a good example. Amen. And to being and following God so that others can follow us. Remember that Adam was responsible for the garden. Now, he wasn't really responsible for the garden, but Adam was responsible for the garden. God put him in charge, and he was supposed to lead the way. And so let us get back in our place. Let us be the first one to give God praise and give God some honor. Amen. Praise God. Is there someone else that... y'all kind of quick on me today. We don't want to go too fast, man. Now, come on now. Who's going to be next today?
Brother Greg's here. Brother Andre's here.
Brother Greg, you got a testimony, Brother Greg. I know God done brought Brother Greg to some stuff. When I hear about it, I know God done blessed him and brought him through. Mm-hmm. Amen. You got a testimony you want to give today, Brother Greg?
Come on, Brother Greg. We've been calling your name all week now. You haven't answered. Come on, Greg. It's your day. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, Brother Greg, he's not saying anything right now. Maybe he'll come back later on. Hallelujah. Let me read a scripture here because, you know,
hallelujah.
Great times is going. I'm going to go to Mark chapter 7 to show that when God did something for people, they were willing to give a testimony for it. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. He said, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, and they brought unto him one that was dead. And he had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his finger into his ear. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he shied and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is to be opened. And straightway his ears was opened. And the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. And he charged them, saying that they should tell no man. So much the more, the great deal they published it. I mean, they couldn't, I mean, he told them not to even tell what he did. But even though he told them not to tell it, they said they published it. They wanted to tell the good things that Jesus did for them. See, this is why. Even though he told them not to tell it, to keep it quiet. But they said, and he charged them that they should not tell no man, but the more he charged them, the more they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Amen. And so, see, the reason that Mark wrote this because Mark wanted you to know if you're deaf, if you have an impediment in your speech, that God can heal your speech, He can open up your ears. He can open up the blind eye. And Jesus do everything well. And even though Jesus told them not to tell it, they was out telling everybody. They made Jesus known. See, this is how Jesus gets glory. When we say we're supposed to give glory to God, the way you give glory, you go out and tell what he done did for you. Hallelujah. They went out and, but these people saw what they had did for this man. The people began to publish it. The people began to tell everybody about it. See, this is how we give glory to God. You tell the good things he's done. And so even when we preach or even when we minister, we're talking about the things that Jesus do. We want everybody to have faith. We want everybody to have faith that if Jesus does these things for mankind, if you have this problem in your life, then if Jesus fixed it in these people's life, he'll fix it in your life. And so the reason we tell you to tell things is because somebody might have the same problem in their life that you got in yours. And if they have the same problem in their life you got in yours, you'll tell them how Jesus healed you. Then you give them the faith to believe that Jesus will heal them, knowing that Jesus has no respect of person, that he does all things well. He did it for me, child. He'll do it for you. Let me tell you, let me tell you. Let me tell you about where he brought me from. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you about what he brought me through. And you got something to say. Whether you're saved or unsaved, or whether you know the Lord or don't know the Lord, God did something for you before you got saved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was keeping you while you was unsaved. You know, while you was out there rioting, while you was in the street drinking, while you was getting drunk, while you was having sex with from anybody from 8 to 80. You know how you was, amen. Anybody that opened their leg, you was there getting it, amen. But look what could have happened in that circumstance. You could have came up with AIDS, amen. You could have came up with herpes, or you could have came up with all types of what they call the STS disease or whatever. You could have came up with all of that. But yet you're here to talk about it, that you didn't die from that. Even though you was out there doing it, you didn't die from that. And now you standing here, you're made whole now. You're standing before God now, and you ought to be able to tell it. He saved me. He brought me through that test. And I don't know if you was going back in the 70s, back in the time, in the 70s when all that was going on. Amen. You can see you had a lot of stuff you missed. It was just the grace of God, the reason you missed it. And you ought to tell somebody about it. You ought to tell somebody about it. Look at me now. I'm still whole. I'm well. Amen. I'm still in. I got the right portion of my mind. I got the right portion of my health. I can still talk. I can still see. I think that's something to tell about. See, you don't think about that very much because it didn't happen to you. But maybe the reason it didn't happen to you is because it was God that was protecting you. It couldn't have been no other reason. Amen. That's all I can say. It was no other reason. Amen. That thing, those things didn't happen to me. It was that God was just watching over me. And so I know somebody got something to tell because, yeah, you done did something now. Amen. Is that somebody else, amen, you want to tell? Well, is Brother Norman on today?
Hold on, Bishop. You know, my apology, Greg is on mute. So now, Greg, we got you off mute and give you a testimony.
Yeah, I was trying to say, you know, I was trying to tell you a story about how we went, how I got saved from. It all started how we got into guns. And it started probably at the age of, I could say between 5 and 6 years old. And between 5 and 6 years old, hanging out with some boys that were a little bit bigger than me, follow these boys, and, you know, they used to have these construction sites. And I don't know what the construction sites used to do, but they used to have cases of bullets inside of these big construction sites, and I don't know what they used to shoot them into, the steel beams or what they used to shoot the bullets into, but they used to have the bullets off up in there. And when they would close up the construction sites, be like, oh, little boys, somehow find our way off up into these construction sites. We would sneak off up into the construction sites late at in the evening, and we would go off up in there. And I mean, we go through the construction sites and we find these cases of bullets, and we would steal as many of them as we could. But we didn't know no better. We were stealing tools, hammers, and stuff. And then when we come out of the construction sites, it's just how we didn't know no better. Back to where we live, and we would take the bullets, and we didn't know no better. We would be sitting outside with the bullets, putting them on the ground, and we would take our hammers, and we would be popping the bullets. Everybody sitting around in a circle, and we sitting there smashing bullets in front of each other, and just, you know, bullets popping off, flying around each other. And what direction they flying in? They popping in the air. They passing past each other heads. They passing past each other bodies. Nobody has the slightest clue that we can be sitting here. We can kill each other. We didn't know what we were doing. But if it wasn't for God to be sitting here saving us, God had to be saving us. Except for it was just me. It had to be me. I had to put a bullet down in front of a kid, and I smashed that bullet in the kid's leg. And this is how I got in trouble. I got in trouble because the bullet, it stuck right there on the kid's bone, and the kid ran off home crying. And that's when somehow they went and told my mama that I did it. They had to take the boy to the hospital. But I threw all my bullets away, and I don't know what happened. I can't remember the whole story as to what happened, but I know I got a severe beating because I'm wrong. But we never did tell my mother where we got the bullets from. But this is what ended up happening. I still learn a lesson, okay? Because as a little boy, one day going in my mother's room, going through her door, father's bullets. Now, these here are real bullets, you know, like 38 bullets. And I found some of those bullets, and then I took them outside with some more little boys. I was sitting outside. We had some hammers, and we was bullets off. And so what happened? Another bullet went through another little boy's ankle. Still didn't learn my lesson. Got beat with a extension cord this time. After that one, I did stop because, you know, I realized that I couldn't kill this kid. And then from that point on, I realized, you know, I could have ended up killing myself as well. But then this is, it still didn't stop there, because what I started doing then with some other kids, everybody was finding bullets in their houses. And then we started taking the bullets and going, we lived in projects. So we go into the hallway of the projects, and we put all the bullets in pile of paper, and then set the paper on fire and run out the building, out of the hallway. And you listen to all of the bullets popping in the hallway. So you know, as I got older, I started realizing, you know, nobody ever got shot, bullets popped in the fire. I started realizing, you know, it had to be God watching over us to kept us kids safe, you know, because we could have killed ourselves in doing all of this. Through all of that, we went to other things like picking up guns, you know. And then we decided, you know, we gonna be, you know, the Billy Bad Boys and start fighting amongst each other and fighting over turf and all of this other stuff, you know, which is we on no ground out there, but we out here, you know, wanting to fight and wanting to shoot and get in shootouts, this other stupid stuff about who can come around this part of our neighborhood, you know. And that's where, you know, later on the drugs and all of that stuff came into play, you know, because then it was more to it than what we were fighting over, you know. And it, you know, it just goes back to show how a lot of stuff started, you know, and how God came in to really save a lot of our lives, because we were ignorant to a lot of things that we really had no knowledge of and did nothing belong to us. And we out here trying to control something that don't belong to us, you know. So, I mean, you know, all you can do, like today, when we acknowledge that, you know, none of this stuff belong to us, you know, and our lives can be gone today, tomorrow. And, you know, this is God's land. This is not ours. He owns all of this. You got people out here fighting for nothing, you know, and we out here supposed to be sitting, we supposed to be helping each other, you know, learn how to, you know, live a decent life. But we out here fighting for the wrong purpose, the wrong cause. And there's stuff sitting out here that's, you know, giving us the wrong purpose to really, you know, fight for things that don't belong to us. And as kids coming up, you know, I mean, we're not, you know, being directed in the right direction to see that, you know, this is not where you're supposed to be, you know. And I think if we would, you know, if as little kids, you know, there were more of a responsibility, I guess, to our parents to really keep up as to where your kids are at. You know, if you knew where your kids were at, then you would know, you know, that, hey, I mean, because, you know, I don't know. I just felt like, you know, if my mom and them knew where I was at and knew, you know, how could they let me be miles away from home into somebody's construction site? You know, anything could have happened by me running off miles away from home. And here I am in a place, you know, where I shouldn't have been, but I'm finding stuff that, you know, I shouldn't even have no access to, you know. But it starts like that, you know, running off from home, sticking my nose into something that I had no business being, you know, being in a place where I had no business being, you know. And that's what I had to say, you know, because I learned at an early age and, you know, being somewhere where I shouldn't have been. So that's all I had to say, Bishop.
Amen. Amen, Brother Greg. Amen. So right there, you see the witness of God. And you see where God did, what could have happened, but didn't happen. I might have could have been killed, but wasn't killed. he could have been killed, and yet he wasn't killed. And so you could see God's hand even before we come to the Lord. We can see that God was doing some good things for us. We don't think about it too much. You know, when life goes on with people, they don't think about that all the time. They only think about the now. They don't look back and see that God's been good to them all the time, not just now since you got saved, but even before you got saved. And that's what these things are about. Before I got saved, you know, that God was there watched over me. Amen. Psalms 145, amen. I'm just going to read, just put some scriptures in here because when we don't think about it, you know, people say, well, I don't have nothing to say. I don't have nothing to talk about. You know, I never did drink. I never smoked. I never committed adultery. And I never committed fornication. And, you know, I never lied. And, you know, how we, some people say they never done all those things. But, you know, we just listen to them. And we know that. And then we know they lie when they say it, but we just listen to them anyway, you know. You know we listen to lies, amen. But God,
lies. Come on.
All have sinned. All have done wrong. Somewhere down the line, all have been sinned. You cheated on your wife. You cheated on your husband. Amen. You know you was doing wrong, but God brought you through that. See, that's something to tell because somebody might be shacked up now in fornication. Or they could be in adultery if they're shacked up with somebody that ain't their husband. It might be somebody else's husband, laying up with somebody else's husband. So laying up with somebody else's wife. And you need to know how God delivered you out of that because there might be somebody on the line now who's in the same predicament. And maybe they're trying to figure out how am I going to get out of this? How do I get out of this? But we're just here to say God can deliver you from that because that doesn't give glory to God. That only gives glory to the devil. And he wasn't created to give any glory to the enemy. You were only created to give glory to God. That's the purpose in which he was created for. So I always say be careful how you represent God. You have to represent God in an upright way because when they see you, they see the Christ in you. That's where it's supposed to be. I'm not saying that's where it is. But anytime you display, you're supposed to be displaying the glory of God. But listen at this. But listen at another David. This is why they said David was a man of praise. He gave glory to God because he wanted everybody to know the things that God did for him. And even when he was in sin, and even there, I was looking at one scripture, David had a disease. I don't know what disease that was, but God brought him through it. And I don't think there was no penicillin back in those days. I don't think it was. I'm not going to say it was. But it might not have been no penicillin back in those days. If God didn't deliver you, you just died. And so David had to give praise. Know what David says in Psalm 145. I will extol thee, O my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will of thy glorious honor, of thy majesties, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly of the memories of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Amen. And so David was giving the praise, amen, to God. Talk about God's great work, the unsearchable works, and how the praise was going to go from one generation to another. But, you know, if you don't talk about it, then if you don't talk about the Lord, then it doesn't get passed down to the next generation. And so when we come and give praise and glory to God, it passed down from one generation to the next. You want your son to know about it. You want your daughter to know about it. You want your grandchildren, great-great-grands to know about it. So make sure that we give praise to God. Make sure we tell what God has done for you. And let them know. Well, you know, some of us, we like to try to hide our past from our children because we're kind of ashamed of we're kind of ashamed of where we used to be. But it's good to tell your children. No, I wasn't always white, honey. Yeah, I did the same thing you did and you're doing now. That's when I can tell you more about it because I've already been through all of that, baby. You need to listen to me. Because I've always experienced that. Amen. And so come on, somebody tell about their experience with the Lord. We want to know, the good things, bad things, whatever it was. We want to hear about what God did for you today. Who's going to be next? Brother Prevo?
Amen. Amen, Pastor. Giving honor to God, Bishop Hayes, Sister Denise, all the ministers that are present, Brother Greg, Pastor's mothers, giving honor to all of y'all, giving honor to the Almighty Most High God on today. Amen. I thank God, hallelujah, for delivering me. This may sound funny, but the Lord delivered me from a life of fornication before I got into a life of fornication. Glory to God. When I was with my ex-wife, and me and my ex-wife got a divorce. During the marriage, I did have an affair, but that's not the fornication I'm talking about. When me and my wife decided we were going to break up, but we weren't going to be together no more, I decided that I was going to be player of the century. Glory to God. I decided I was going, and we are wrong, right? Ain't no choosing on the line. I decided I was going to try to hit everything that was moving. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I decided mentally, I made a conscious decision, I was going to go into a life of fornication. Praise God. And adultery. I decided this is what I was going to do. And the second I decided to do this, the next day, I bumped into my wife. Praise God. The next day. Glory to God, my present wife. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's like God said, no, you're not. I got somebody for you, and you're not going to do whatever you want to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So I know it might sound crazy to some people how you can get delivered from something before you get into it. Hallelujah. But when you call yourself, when you're trying to be a double-sided child of God, when you're trying to ride the fence and do what you want to do and still call yourself saved, God say there's a parameter that I'm not going to let you get out of. Amen. So I just thank God, amen, that he delivered me from that. He delivered me from so many things. I was talking to women that had me doing popping pills and starting cocaine at one time, praise God. But God delivered me from all that. Hallelujah, praise God. So I just give God the glory, the honor, the praise, because like you said, Pastor, a lot of us look back and say, well, I ain't really did nothing. I ain't really, slipped up and did no stuff like that. Amen. But I imagine other people have a different opinion, praise God, of us. Hallelujah. So I just thank God for him saving and delivering me, and I was also going to be I was a worldly rapper at one time, and I thank God that he delivered my way of thinking, because I we were taught in school that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, as if words don't have an impact. And I thought, you know, rapping about whatever they were rapping about at the time was just music. It was I was looking at it like an art form of some sort, and it wouldn't have no harm on nobody. Praise God. But now that God delivered my mind, if I go back and listen to some of the music I made back in my 20s, I was like, Lord, I was going to lead people to hell. I was going to lead people the wrong way. I was going to have people in adultery. And the Bible say when we lead people astray, when we lead the little ones astray, it's better for us to have a millstone tied around our neck in the middle of the sea. So I thank God for delivering me from a way of thinking and a way of promoting the world or the evil, the devil's agenda, and not even being aware that that's what I was doing. So I thank God for opening my eyes, for waking me up, and making me understand that I have a bigger purpose in this life than just to make money. Let me put it like that. I have a bigger purpose in life than just to make money, just to do business. I'm here to do the Lord's business. I'm here to lead people in the right direction. I'm here to give my testimony and say if I can come out of this, if I can stop doing this, then you can too. You know, I got to accept the fact that I'm delivered from whatever I was doing. God already paid the price. His son already died on the cross for me. So I'm delivered from whatever I'm doing. I just got to make up my mind to stop doing it. I gotta make the right choices from now on. So I just thank God for delivering me from that and blessing me to become, some people might say a gospel rapper or a Christian rapper. I just say I'm a rapper. Praise God. Amen. With a different agenda than most other rappers. Hallelujah. Because there was a time in my life that I didn't think I would be able to make inspirational rap music. I didn't think it was possible. I thought it was corny. I didn't think I could make it work. But God delivered me from that way of thinking. He delivered me from so much that I don't even have time to really just testify about everything he delivered me from. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I was one of those people, Pastor, that felt like I ain't been through nothing. Hallelujah, praise God. But when I stop and think about it, hallelujah, everything I've been through, everything I did, hallelujah, praise God, amen, in the short amount of time I did it, hallelujah, praise God, in the short amount of time amen. I did it, hallelujah, praise God, I could have been deep off in it. We see about these videos of how the industry is right now. I would have been in that era, the 2000. The 99 to the 2005 rappers, I would have been up there with them, and I done heard their stories. Hallelujah. And I can say I wouldn't have done what they did to get what they have, but I can't say that definitively back then, because back then I wanted the fame, I wanted the fortune, I wanted the money, I wanted people to know my name, I wanted the Bentley. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. There ain't no telling what I would have did back then to get that. I can say I would have did it. Hallelujah. Amen. But I probably would have did it and lied about it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I thank God for delivering me from that, opening up my mind, opening up my understanding. And I got a song for you if you got time to call Heaven or Hell. Amen, praise God, and I hope y'all like it, praise God.
Nobody.
Yeah.
We all get caught in our own sins.
We do.
Sometimes I have to remind myself that on my worst day,
what's that?
I live like somebody on their greatest. Don't let your demons take you to hell.
Gangsta.
Introduce them to heaven.
Uh-huh.
nobody.
Nobody wanna fail. Nobody wanna die.
DC3.
Nobody wanna.
Hey, I'm finna kill this track though.
The things we do.
Yeah, the things we do. Yeah, just to make it through.
Nobody wanna lose.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna fail.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna die.
Nobody.
We're just trying to live our life.
Yeah. Choices turned to decisions, uh-huh. And we were told to do the right thing and we didn't listen. Ask God's forgiveness 9 times out of 10, yeah. Give us a second chance, we go and do it again. Me, I fall short every day, and ask God's forgiveness every time I pray. Truth is, I probably need the most help. I'm trying to help y'all when I need help myself. Look, I'm really preaching to the man in the mirror. Every time I read the word, I see things a little clearer. With God on my side, it ain't nothing that I'm fearing. And I ain't even driving, let the Lord do the steering. It's like down, it's starting to look up to me. Men of God, y'all starting to look like frauds to me. You don't like what I'm saying, then sue me. I've been through the fire, ain't nothing that you can do me. I'm like Daniel, I ain't bowing down to nobody. See, I'm trying to serve God, and you trying to serve money. When I switched my style, God said switch it back. He gave me the world and said take control of that. It's my time now, you can't stop it, it was written. I'm trying to lace you boys up, but you keep tripping. You already leaning, but you boys keep slipping. But it don't cost nothing if you boys pay attention and listen. Yeah.
Niggas go to jail.
Yeah, they do. Uh-huh.
Make it into hell.
It's all about choices and decisions.
Nobody wanna lose.
Yeah.
Nobody wanna fail.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna die.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna care.
It's the things we do. Just to make it through.
Make it.
But the truth is that nobody
wanna lose.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna fail.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna die.
Nobody.
We're just trying to live our
life. Yeah. Decisions turn to consequences. It's what happened when we hard-headed and don't listen. You creeping with your boy, girl, and you know you're wrong. Oh boy, pop that thing, see you home, now you're gone. You're on the block when it's hot and you're holding weight. You're stunting on them boys, I'm surprised when them boys hate. They drop a dime on you, set you up, get you killed. You need to watch the people that you're breaking bread with. My circle's so small, it's a straight line. Won't set me up, I ain't going down for now crime. And I ain't riding cross town with you just to make a drop. Had me on the news with you, running from the cops. My mind on lifting Jesus up to the top. Then out the blue, I'm pulling something new off the lot. Hop out of the church house, like what you talking about? It's raining blessings in my life. I'm stacking up for the drop. Death and life, choose life is what he told me. Then he took me to a place on high, and he showed me everything that he had prepared for me. There I am, staring at me, I'm on the TV. And I ain't go to college, and I stayed out of jail. Jesus paid my way to heaven, kept me out of hell. So to the highest bidder, see my soul was for sale. Will I reach my destiny? Only time will tell. But yeah.
Niggas go to jail.
You see it?
Make it into heaven. Ooh, make it into hell.
I know I do.
Nobody wanna lose. Nobody wanna fail. Nobody wanna die.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna care.
It's the things we do. Just to make it through.
Make it through.
Yeah.
Ooh,
but nobody
wanna lose.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna fail.
Nobody.
Nobody wanna die.
Nobody.
We're just trying to live our life.
Yeah. Consequences lead to repercussions. You reap what you sow, that's the end of discussion. I give it to you raw, I ain't sugarcoating nothing. You was capping on them boys, then they came back stunting. They was packing artillery, you ain't even know. Your boy set you up, and y'all been down since 94. Man, the love of money, that's the root to it. And it don't take much, a couple dollars will do it. Watch that, you never know how that's gonna come back. Cause everything you take, somebody gonna wanna take that. Haters get hated on, and they hate it. Catch you you inebriated and faded. They being shady, and that's the reason why a lot of people ain't see me lately. They smile in my face, shake my hand, and they hate me. Man, that's the world they living in. I love y'all, Lo, I just want y'all to repent your sin. And if I did you wrong, forgive me, let's begin again. Life is too short, and when I die, I wanna make it in. Time is moving fast, we the ones that's moving slow. And when it's your time to go, you won't know till you go. I done done some things that I ain't wanna do, and I ain't proud of what I did what I had to do. Now I don't wanna lose, don't wanna fail, don't wanna die. And the day he calls my name, y'all, I wanna fly like Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. That was a good song there. God told him something. He just trying to kick himself out of hell. He didn't know what he would have done. He and I, we were talking one time, and he said, well, Pastor, you know, I was back then, and, you know, I wish I would have made it, and I wish I'd made it. And I told him, I said, well, brother, do you see all those rappers? How many rappers are dead now? I said, most of them are dead. Most of them come up with pain, and then they dead. I said, you know, if you had made it, then maybe you could have been in that number. You could have been one of them. He said, you know, Pastor, you're right. He said, Pastor, you know, you're right about that. I said, yeah. God saves everything for his time. It's a time for his son. It's a time for everything. And God's going to raise you up in his time, you know, with some songs that's going to praise him, give glory to him, and not give glory to the flesh, not give glory to money and fame and riches and all of that. And what most of them was rapping about in their time, they're rapping about all the money they got, they showing their money, got the gold chains hanging around their neck, trying to show that they prosperous, and then they're acting happy, and they say it, and they're acting happy, and they're running, they can't go places. They can't come into town unless they let somebody know they in town, and all kind of junk, worldly junk going on, like they own something and they possess nothing. You know, trying to own all things and possess nothing. If you don't possess God, you don't possess anything. If you don't know God, you don't know the right thing. You need to know the right person, amen. God is the right person for you to know. If you know him, amen. And you know the right man. You know, sometimes we always say, it's not what you know sometimes. Sometimes it can be who you know.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Who you know. And if you know Jesus, you know the right one. You know the one that can get you into anything, can take you anywhere, can cause you to rise up above your situation, can cause you to rise above your problems, and cause you to rise above life itself, you out of anything. He can bring you out of poverty, amen, and set you on high. See, he's the right person that we need to know. We need to know Jesus. All this other stuff that you're trying to find out about, make sure we know Jesus, and you know the right one that can do anything. There's nothing impossible to him that he can't do for you. And if I didn't know Jesus, I would try to get to know him today. I wouldn't wait till tomorrow. I would do it today. Mm-hmm. I would want to know him today, who can bring me out of anything. You can see that he brought him out of that life. Amen. And he can bring you out of the life, whatever life that you're in. He can bring you out of that life. Amen. Even when you're sick, you know, you become faithful. He can raise you up. Look at what he did in the Bible. All the people he raised up. The man that sat beside the pool of water for 36 years or 38 years?
Mm-hmm.
But here's a man been crippled, been laying beside a pool of water all that time. And one word, just one word. Sometimes all it takes is one word. Jesus told him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And just from the word of Jesus, he was able to get up out of his situation and began to walk and began to live again. A lot of us, we're down, we're dead. We're dead in our trespass and our sins. And that one word from Jesus can raise you from the dead. His word will raise you up. His word will give life. He said, I am the bread of life. And if any man eat of this bread, he'll live forever. So here, Jesus come to offer you some bread. Mm-hmm. See, you got to know the right man. Jesus is the right man to know, amen.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to know the president. You don't need to know the senators. You don't need to know who Charles Schwab or whoever he's got all of the money. The person you need to get to know, you need to get to know Jesus. And if you find Jesus, you done found everything. Everything that you need, everything that you desire of life, he's able to give it to you. He's able to give you riches and gold if that's what you so desire. But he did say, if you seek first the kingdom, I'll give you all the other things that you've been looking for. Just make sure you get the kingdom first, then all other things will be added unto you. So knowing Jesus is knowing the right man. Knowing Jesus is the one who can protect you. Knowing Jesus is the, you know, somebody say, it's the best thing that I could ever know. When I found Jesus, it's the best treasure that I could ever found. He's a treasure of life, amen. Praise God. All life and all life sources come from him. He's the treasure. And so if you want to find your treasure, Jesus will be your treasure today. And if you get to know Jesus, he can bring you up. You know, the rappers, the world of rappers thinks they're doing something, amen. But he can give you more glory than that of the world, amen. The only thing they got to show is gold, their gold necklace and chains and a mouthful of gold teeth and silver teeth. And I don't know what else kind of teeth they have, but you see them have all that stuff they're trying to show who they are by what they have. But I thank God that I can show who I am because I got Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm somebody because I got Jesus. I don't need the things of the world to know who I am. I am who I am by the glory of God and nothing more, nothing less. But it was God that made me who I am. And I'm going to stand up for Jesus because what? He set me on.
Jesus.
If you want to rise up, you can get up now. If you want to go high. Mm-hmm. So I don't need no drugs. I don't need alcohol to make me high. I want to be high. Hallelujah. I want to get drunk in the Lord. Amen. That's what he said. Don't be drunk with wine and beer in excess, but be filled with the Spirit because he can raise you high. What I mean,
Lord,
I have set you far above all principalities and powers and spirits of wickedness in high places. I set you above. I'm going to bring you up. I'm going to bring you up to give you a place beside me. Hallelujah. That's what he said. It's a place beside me. If you want to be raised up, you can't go no higher than God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We got another man on the line. You gotta get him in quick, bitches.
Who's that other man, man?
Raven. We got Raven on the line. A couple of them said he was
Brother
working.
Brother Raven.
Yeah, they working stuff.
Go ahead, Brother Raven.
I wasn't expecting to get up and get, you know, talking. I really was coming to hear the word, but amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. What are we talking about?
I want to give a praise where God brought you from, where he lifted you up from.
Oh, it's a men's day?
It's
a
men's day. Bishop, you didn't tell him?
Okay.
You just on time.
He know every Friday. Every Friday.
Amen, praise the Lord. God bless y'all, everybody on the prayer line, man. You know, to be honest with you, this is where it all started for me, this prayer line right here, man. And where I was coming from was out of the darkness into my Father's marvelous light. And at the end of the day, I'm blessed and humbled to say that the only reason why I'm still alive is he ain't finished with me yet. But for the most part, you know, I had a not so colorful background. You know, I've been in the streets, did time in jail, and, you know, gave myself a world of grief by not being obedient to the Father from the very beginning. But I'm glad that he had his mercy and his grace over my life. I thank him so much for sparing me. And you know what I'm noticing right now, too? As I look back on my life and I see everything that he brought me from, all the times when he intervened, every time that he spared my life, every time that he was with me and comforted me in my time of breaking down, wanted to give up, I can see now that I have to have that same compassion and mercy for those who I see that are still living in the darkness. I have a different conviction that I'm going through right now. It's basically treat them the same way I treated you. You know what I'm saying? So where I was coming from, when I was in the streets and I was ripping around and selling drugs and shooting at people and stuff like that, I see these youngsters nowadays. And when I see them, the first thought, my flesh is telling me, get away from them, you know what I'm saying, because they're crazy. But then God be like, treat them the same way I treated you when you was out there. So then the conviction come. Now that I walk up to my brother and go, hey, man, do you know the Lord? You know what I'm saying? It's a different conviction. When I was in jail, I always wished that people would come see me to commissary or just come by and just wink at a brother because, you know, you're sitting there with all that time to yourself. Now I got a nephew who's in jail, and I ain't even seen him or wrote him or nothing, and the conviction is coming on me hard. Everything that God has brought me through in the life that I live, I'm now seeing that I have to almost pay restitution to those who's in the same situation or somebody who's even in the worse one. At the end of the day, brothers and sisters, God didn't save us so we could just be to us. He didn't save us from the world so we could just make sure our garments stay white, you know what I'm saying, and unspotted and unstained from the world. That's not the purpose of him saving us. The life that we lived, the life that he gave us was for a sole purpose that we could help others in that same situation. We did not live a super extravagant, sensational life that's different from everybody else. No. We all coming from something. We all coming from being in the streets or just living in a religious household, and now we just coming into the truth. We all coming from being broken and abused and have fathers or mothers who was alcoholics and stuff like that, and we was trauma at a real young age, and then we suffered mental conditions and trust issues and insecurities. We all coming from something. And I promise you, if you were to open up and give your testimony to just the person at the bus stop, the homeless man asking you for a dollar, I promise you, 9 times out of 10, y'all probably got something so familiar and common. Being a light don't mean that you're hiding underneath the bed or hiding in the closet. No. Why did God give us all this armor for us so we can sit in the house? No. It's so we can go into the hedges and to the highway. I know a lot of people that say they know the Lord, but they got a lot of armor and they're sitting in the house. Like, we got armor so we can battle and we can fight against the things of this world. So we don't need to be afraid of it. This world is getting dark. I ain't gonna lie to you. Look, hey, these justices are crazy. But look, at the end of the day, what kind of God do we serve? What kind of God do we serve? We cannot be in fear because the darkness is right upon the horizon, and it's an evilness that's keeping up these justices. We cannot cower down and hunker and say, I'm trying to just have self-preservation and only save myself. No, brothers and sisters. God has called you to be a light. He said, fear not, for I am with you. Be strong and courageous. Where God has brought me from, I lived a life that some people couldn't even bear or understand. But at the end of the day, I thank him. Because the only reason why, that's all I got, brothers and sisters. I got to get back to work. Love y'all.
Amen. Thank Brother Raven for that. Amen for that word. He said you can't be afraid, that you got to go out and be a light. You have to go out and tell somebody. And then sometimes you start right here on the line with telling somebody. People on the line, they're listening. And then they need to tell their testimony to somebody who's in the same shape. I always say to everybody, God brought you through what he brought you through to have an experience in that thing. And you're the first one with the experience of where you came from. So you can help somebody else that's in that same situation. I think I talked about that the other day, was saying that You know, the reason God allowed you to go through that, because he wants you to experience that so that you can be a help to somebody else. And Jesus experienced what he experienced. They said he was tempted like as we are tempted, yet without sin, that he went through the things he went through so he would know how to help us. Because God didn't know what, I know he created flesh, but he had never experienced the flesh, so he experienced the flesh himself so that he would know how to help us. And this is what this thing is all about, having a testimony, being a witness, is telling somebody else about your experience so you can help them through their experience. And that's why we come to talk about this each and every first Friday and the first Wednesday for the ladies. We come so you can talk about it and you can be open about it. And if you can be open about it to us, you can be open to somebody in the world who's experiencing the same thing that you have experienced. And so that's why we give our testimony, amen. If there's somebody else before on the line, amen, we want to give their
testimony. That's it for the men, Bishop. That's it for the men.
That's it. Brother Brad didn't show up today.
Amen.
Brother Christ didn't show up today.
He's been here every day, too.
And, Ward, 863 number. Is 863 number on there?
Mm-mm. No later back. And your feet shall preparation of the gospel.
863.
Oh, no, no 863.
Amen. Well, he normally comes on every day, but I just, he didn't come. He said he was coming on, but he didn't come
on
today.
Yeah, he's here every day, yeah.
But today, I guess it was testimony time. I guess they didn't want to give their testimony. Amen. So thank God for all the testimonies taking place. Amen. Let me read a script. Let me read a scripture then. Amen. We ain't going to hold you out today and everything. Amen. It said Psalm 166, amen, and verse 5. He said, come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruled by his power forever. His eyes behold the nation. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Amen. Come see the work of the Lord. That's what we need. Come see the work of the Lord. So he's making an invitation that we need to come see the work of the Lord and how awesome he is in his works and in his doing, that whatever it is that we need, he's an awesome God. You know, I know that song, my God is an awesome God. He rules in the kingdom of men. And because God rules in the kingdom of men, that means that God is in charge. He's in control. He can change things. He can make things over. He can turn things around. And even the bad that you did good, he said, God will cause it to work together for your good. And so every experience in life that you had, he can cause that to work together for his good, because what he's done, he'll turn that into a testimony. That is why you have a testimony, because he turned it around for you. And so whatever you need turned around in life, God will turn it around for you. And the thing about it, he said, we just got to repent. Change our mind about the way what we've been doing or how we used to do it, and turn it into doing it God's way. And that is what God requires for us to do, to repent. And when we repent and change your mind about the way you was going and turn it around, turn your life around. When you repent, you're not only doing it, you're turning your life around, because most of us, we were going in the wrong direction. We was headed to hell, but God saved us, amen. Hallelujah. We were headed to death, but God saved us, and he turned it around for us. And this is what he came to save us from: death, hell, and the grave, amen. He came to save us from that. And so if that's you today on the line today, you know you're not saved, amen. God is able to turn it around for you. So whatever you're going through, whatever experience that you had, don't look at it as a, I know sometimes we look at it as a bad thing, but don't look at it as a bad thing. Use that thing for good. Use your experience with God for good. Use that use what you experience to help somebody else through it. You know, I know we all had different experiences. You know, women chaser, men chaser, sexual perverts, or whatever it might have been. But use that for to give God glory, to tell somebody that God brought me out of this. He can bring you out of this also. And that's what it's all about. That is what life is all about. He saved you to save others. He didn't give you his word to keep it. He gave you his word to sow. Mm-hmm. He didn't give you his spirit to keep it. He gave you his spirit to lead and guide you so you'll be able to lead and guide somebody else. He gave you his spirit so that spirit in you will bring conviction. It will bring conviction on those that are unsaved. You see, the Holy Ghost in you will bring conviction on them. When you're telling your story and you're telling your testimony of where God brought you from, it'll bring conviction on the hearts of those that are unsaved. Use what you got. Use what God has given you. If God didn't give you nothing but a pot of oil, use that oil. Use the oil that God gave you. If he didn't give you nothing but a word, then use that word that God gave you. Then he'll increase that word. If you sow that word or you sow that testimony to somebody else, then God will increase your testimony and have you have more to say. And so don't be afraid to use. Y'all rise up. Now get out the corner. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to speak the word of God, for God is in you so that you can save others. And just for the time, we're going to go to Romans chapter 10 because we know, well, John 3 and 5, because we're not going to hold you up. All the men didn't show up. We're not going to hold you up today. Amen. And listen to what Jesus said to everybody, because we want to open the door now because somebody might want to be saved. Now, in being saved, we don't care whether you're a man or woman sitting on the line. We want to know. We want you to be saved. You heard the man's testimony. Amen. If you're on the line, then if you need to be saved, then you need to be saved. Amen. St. John chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, you won't understand it unless you're born again. If you can't see that you are a new person or a new creature, then you're going to still keep thinking like the old, so you have to be born again. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And these want to know, well, you don't understand natural things, man, of being a new birth. Going back into your mother's womb won't cause you to be born again, because when you come out of your mother's womb again, amen, you still got the same problem. You still got a sin problem. But this is saying of being born you must be born of water and spirit. You cannot enter to the kingdom of God. And so they're letting us know we have to be born again. Amen. So that you can see, or you can perceive a new birth, or you can conceive of being somebody different than who you used to be, that you are not the old man anymore, that you have become something new. And when you realize that you become something new, then you start living the way you think that you have become. See, as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. So I've got to think new all the time. I got to keep my mind. I'm new. I'm not the same person. So I can't do what I used to do. And one of the ways, you know, in Romans chapter 10, this is a familiar scripture we always read sometimes in this thing, because we want to, Romans 10 and 9, we read that, I call this, amen, you need to put something in to get something out, amen. You need to lay some treasures up, and your confession is a treasure. You land it up in your heart. You're laying it up in the heart so you can reap the benefits of it. Amen. Here it is. I'm going to start at verse 8 and 9. He said, but what said it, Romans 10 and 8, but what said it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou would confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart
that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Mm-hmm. So we always ask for a confession. You got to confess, make a confession. Sow a seed in your heart so that the seed can be planted in your heart, so that the seed can come up and bear fruit. And then the fruit that we're bearing fruit unto God. We're bearing fruit unto righteousness. Amen. We bear fruit. So make a confession. If somebody wants to make a confession today. And but in order to be saved now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it lets us know what we need to do. Once we make our confession, you know, when you make your confession, then when we repent, Peter said, what? Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. They're letting us know when we repent, you get baptized. You need to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sin can be forgiven. And then he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, the promise is unto you. And notice what it said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are for all, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the promise is extended to everybody. It's not just for somebody, it's for everybody. When it says the promise is unto all, that means you too. Amen. Don't let people tell you that you can't have it, because God will give you the desire of your heart. Because if God's going to make you like himself, amen, he gives you his spirit. He gives you his, and it is the spirit that makes you who you are. It is the spirit that gives life. And then you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't let nobody tell you it's not for you. I know you got a lot of men around me saying that because they don't have it. The only people that say you don't need it, if you hear somebody say you don't need it, he ain't got it. And he tried to tell you don't need it because you don't have it. But don't be left out. Don't be left out. The promise is unto you. If the promise to you, you can have it just for the asking it. All the God said, ask and it shall be given. Amen. And if you ask for it, God will give it to you today. And so if there's anybody online you want to be saved today, amen. You just acknowledge, amen, I want to be saved. I acknowledge my sin, amen. And I know I need to be saved. I don't want to spend eternity in a place that I don't want to be. I want to spend my eternity with God. And so God has always wanted us to have eternity with him, but he also gave us a choice. See, you have to make the choice yourself. God has to have a choice, you know. If you didn't have a choice, you would be like a robot or something. But God didn't make us robots. He gave us a mind to have a choice. So you can choose God or you can choose Baal. So it's up to you today to make your choice. If there's somebody want to make a choice today to serve God rather than serve the devil. Amen. If there's nobody then, we're gonna open up the door, I guess, for testimony, a prayer request, whatever you got today. We want to hear from you. We take prayer requests from anybody now, not just men, and we take prayer requests from women too, you know. But the testimony was for the men today. But we want to hear what you got to say. If you got something you need today, we want to pray for you. And ask God to do it to you, God will answer prayer. Amen. Is there somebody today?
Hi, Bishop. Thank you for the powerful men testimony. This is Sister Felicia. And I want prayer for myself this morning, because the devil is a lie, and he is trying to attack me spiritually. And, he's just trying to attack me mentally. You know, I was out in the world for a long time. And, so my walk today is new, but my walk is real, and he know it, and he trying to attack me physically, mentally, and I'm not having it. I'm not having it, so.
In the fast lane. Fifth gear wheel spinning. This song so fire that I don't need to hook the engine.